Thanks for joining me on iHeartRadio on the Tech of Sports this week. And a couple days ago, the National Sports Collectors Convention wrapped up in Chicago, maybe the biggest year ever. I'm joined by Rich Miller from Sports Collectors Daily, who was all over the show floor and some great coverage on Sports Collectors Daily. And Rich, I know you said you're recovering. Thanks for a few minutes of your time.
My body is recovered except for my feet. My feet are still really sore, but it's kind of what you come to expect when you're walking around on concrete for so long. But it was a great several days among people that have been waiting for this thing for a couple of years. A lot of collectors have been really anxious for it, so it was nice to see some people really enthusiastic and appreciative of the fact that they can do that again. With everything that's gone on, so it was great to see people that you hadn't seen in a while, and also of course cover what was going on and what's the industry's biggest event.
Yeah, the collectors were happy. I'm sure the dealers were as well. And it's everything sports collecting under one roof, and buying, selling, trading. And what was kind of the general consensus as the show wraps up, Rich? Was it the biggest ever? Were the dealers happy? You said collectors were happy. A lot of pent up demand. So I'm sure it was a relief for everybody.
Yeah, they don't release attendance figures. Yeah. From year to year. Back in the 1991, summer of 91, kind of when we were through this other big boom period, they had a show in Anaheim, California. That's where the show was, and it was generally regarded as the biggest show of all of them. But at that time, there were a lot of people that showed up who just wanted to get these free promo cards they were handing out because they knew they could resell them to collectors that weren't able to come to the show and make a big profit. So that was a big drawing card. This time, I think you had a lot of actual avid collectors that were there. The hobby, of course, has exploded in the last 18 months or so. So many new people. In fact, the National said that about 46% to 48% of the people who were there buying VIP passes, which allowed them to come in early and get some free autographs and things like that, 48% or 46%, I heard a couple of different figures, but either way, it's a big number, were there for the first time that had never been to a show before. And, the National's been around since 1980, and a lot of times you see it's kind of an annual event for really avid collectors who go every year. It's kind of it's a rite of passage when you go the first time, but when you go, usually you go back. And this time it was just a lot of new people who were experiencing it for the first time. And so that was probably the biggest story of the show, I think, is just the number of newcomers that came in from all over the country to go to this thing.
That's a great stat, and that bodes well for the industry and the hobby, I think, as we move forward.
Yeah, I think, there's always talk that, it's not going to last and it's a bubble and all that kind of stuff. But I think, and certainly there will be people who come in and experience, a little bit of it or just kind of decide that it's just not for them, or they kind of grow out of the fad. But I think for the most part, I think it's going to last, at least, for the near-term future. I don't think this is something where you're going to see a mass exodus. Just based on the enthusiasm of people and it's a lot of people who genuinely love it. I mean, you can kind of tell when you talk to people or you look around and see who's there and what they're doing. You can kind of get a sense that maybe it's just a passing fancy for them. But most of the people that I saw and have talked to and read about online when they post their own little videos or blog posts or whatever from the show, they're very passionate about it, and they really have gotten into this to the point where it's a big part of their life. And so I think it's going to be a little bit different than the last bubble that they had back. There's been a few throughout the years, but I think it's different than what we call the junk wax era, where everybody and their mother was getting into this and buying cards and sticking them away and hoping they were going to be valuable. Like, it's a different vibe, different group of people that have gotten into this. And you're seeing a lot of corporate dollars come into buying not just cards, to invest in or whatever, but they're buying into companies and they're buying into businesses and they're starting businesses in this hobby to fill needs that maybe exist with pricing or whatever. And they're taking advantage of a lot of the tech that's going on now, the improvements that have happened in technology and AI and all kinds of things like that that have come to grading, and the data that's available, it's just exploded. And so they're, you know, using some of that that no one has before to create these businesses to fill needs for collectors who are looking for information or looking for better ways to grade and things like that.
Yeah, that's a good sign. And let's hope the hobby's always had price points for everybody. Let's hope that that remains as well. And you mentioned kind of a different vibe, Rich. You've been to many shows. What was the different feel? Why did it feel differently to you?
Well, I think for one thing, the demographic has changed. It used to be not to generalize it too much, but generally the crowd in the past is sort of dominated by older guys who are, you know, they've just been collecting forever, and you didn't see a lot of younger faces there, and not a lot of women. And this time you saw a lot of people that were in their 20s, maybe early 30s, even a lot of teenagers, and certainly a significant number of kids that came, you know, so probably came with a parent or came with someone who, you know, was sort of into it as well. But and then women, you know, you're seeing a few more women, still obviously a male dominated thing, but I think you are seeing more women get into this and sort of appreciating the entrance to it. So, and I just think it's casting a wider net, and that's healthy for this thing, because for years, you know, the talk was, well, there aren't any kids in it, younger people aren't interested in it, all they want to do is digital stuff. And now, I think this proves that that's not necessarily the case. You know, a lot of them are collecting the modern cards, tracking prices, and it's a little bit of a mercenary feel to it sometimes, but for the most part, they really love it, and some of them are getting into the vintage cards and, you know, appreciate some of the stuff that was issued 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. So it's new blood in the, you know, a hobby that really needed it, and it's can't really judge how people do things. You know, they're gonna collect the way they want to collect, and they're gonna enjoy this the way they want to enjoy it. You can't really impose anything that maybe an older collector like me or you that thinks is important. You know, they're just gonna do it the way they want to do it. But I was impressed by the genuine nature of a lot of the people, and what I see online and all the different blog posts and YouTube videos that are out there. They're doing an amazing job with some of these, with some really high quality, you know, video production skills.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great coverage from the show all around, including Sports Collectors Daily with Rich Miller, editor. And Rich, we're coming out of a pandemic, hopefully, here. Was the Autograph Pavilion, did it have a different look to it? How were they taking any precautions, or was it pretty much the same as usual?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix. I mean, you had some guys, especially some of the older guys, who were signing autographs from former players who opted to wear a mask, and some didn't. So it was just, it's kind of like what you see in society, I guess. You know, it just depends on what their outlook is and how they feel about it. But there weren't any mandates or anything. It was a little strange to see so many people on the floor not wearing a mask, because, you know, obviously you're indoors and there's thousands of people walking around. So it was a little bit different to see that, but I haven't heard of any kind of outbreaks or anything, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, excellent to hear that. And you know, for years the show I think maybe dominated by baseball, but I think during the pandemic we saw maybe a surge in basketball, hockey, and football cards and things as well. Did you notice that at the show as well?
Yeah, there's definitely been an uptick in the last few years in basketball, and even soccer has become a very big
Formula One, I saw too.
Formula One too, yeah. A lot of the cards that nobody ever kind of gave a second thought to, or even there weren't even any licenses, at least in North America, for F1 until just recently, and Topps picked it up. And soccer was kind of an afterthought too. You did have some soccer cards being produced, but now you're seeing more than ever, and the soccer cards are selling. We've seen some huge sales of some important rookie cards in soccer, and I think that's a growing worldwide market too. That's fueling a lot of the growth. If you look at some of the stats that we've had from talking with eBay and getting their data for the year, first part of the year, soccer was one of the biggest growth parts of biggest growth sports in sports collecting, which I would never have thought, you know, 2 years ago that would have been the case. But basketball is still kind of the king. And in terms of the, you know, the grading companies, they're still seeing a massive amount of basketball cards, especially from, you know, the 1990s and the Michael Jordan era, and also just recently with, you know, the high quality rookie classes that we've had here. The key players, Zion Williamson, Luka Doncic, John Morant, you know, there's tons of those are being graded, which eventually could kind of impact the market in a negative way. Yeah. Because so many of them are being graded. But, you know, there's still going to be some low serial number cards and autograph cards that are going to maintain their value that are out there. And there's just a tremendous amount of interest. Basketball, of course, being a worldwide sport too, doesn't hurt. But I think all the sports are up, but basketball definitely is more popular than ever.
Excellent. And wrapping up with Rich Miller, Sports Collectors Daily. Check out his coverage all over and social media as well. Did a great job. And Rich, next year back to Atlantic City. You think the momentum continues, and how big can that show be compared to what we can do in Chicago? Do they have the is it the same capabilities, you think?
Well, Atlantic City, of course, was supposed to have the show last year, and it was canceled because of the pandemic. So with Cleveland shutting down the IX Center, they gave the 2022 show to Atlantic City. It's a smaller venue, not a lot smaller, but it is smaller, so you won't have quite as many dealers, and they're looking, I know, for ways to make use of space or find space to be able to do some more things because the interest just continues to grow. So that'll be interesting to see how they're able to do that or if they're able to do that. Atlantic City's a little tough to get to sometimes if you're not on the East Coast. You know, just for me in particular, it's a couple of flights and then either a bus ride or a car ride or, some kind of a bus transportation to get over there, shuttle transportation. So it's a little bit of a different venue. And I know that a lot of people, especially in the western part of the country, you know, are a little bit reluctant to go there. But in terms of the momentum, I think the interest will still be there. The interest will be strong. But the thing to remember is, all these shows that are popping up all over the country. I know in Atlanta, and you know, we've seen some shows in Dallas and you know, other parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, just different new shows that have popped up just in the last, you know, several months that are gaining a big following, and some of the older established shows too are expanding. So I think, you know, even if you don't go to the national, there's going to be no shortage of shows to go to between now and then. And you may see some more larger events pick up, especially in the western part of the country where people, you know, maybe aren't willing to go or don't want to go to the East Coast for a national or a big show. So California is another place where we've seen Northern California, we've seen some new shows come up. So, yeah, the show market is really strong, and the interest is there, and they're having no trouble selling tables and exhibitor booths and bringing autograph guests in. So whether people go to the national or not, there's plenty of events to go to pretty much all year round.
That's good advice. And maybe rumor is maybe they're looking to add maybe one or two more cities to the national rotation now that Cleveland's out. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, that will be definitely something to look at. We don't have anything beyond, it'll come back to Chicago in 2023, but beyond that, we really don't know where the future events will be held. So that's something to look for here in the next couple of months, I think.
And I know you'll be on top of it. And Rich, you're a great friend, and glad you had a great time, and I'll see you next year. And looking forward to it, if not before. Like you said, lots of other shows. Nashville has become a hub of some shows and some other cities as well. So no matter where you live in the country, something's accessible usually to you.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll connect again, Rick, and appreciate you having me on.
No problem, Rich. Take care, recover, and take the week off.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Rich.